Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to talk about meeting the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, where you are today with so many exciting tools that in my hand, I have the Tomahawk. And the Tomahawk is such a cool tool that we're going to unpack. But first, we're going to take some steps back to learn and the origin story of Christian Reed, the founder and CEO at Recon Tools. And so the main message for today, Tribe, is that we need to meet the tape measure and digitization where they all are. And where does the word digitization? I've been saying that on so many different podcasts lately. Of before we hit record, I'm going through all of the Microsoft training right now with Copilot and how to integrate in the business. And it's so much of looking inward to get your large language models and your data sets, but externally, it's just a paradigm shift of what tools they're already using. And then we can really break through the ceiling together. And how is this going to benefit you is that they have ways to capture the measurements in more ways than the human writing it down on the paper from the tape. And that's just the start of this whole thing. So my perspective is utilizing tech that can be used right away to connect the field to the office. Our deep dive series that we did with Ryan Lee on the AOCIT house was about the final podcast was about connecting the field to the office, but there's so much you have to do to create that good foundation to build from that. So the big thing is talking around, you know, the humans with Christian and I, what does digitization mean? Because we all want better outcomes from this thing. And I think there's a lot of stuff that we're trying to figure out around that. We'll put in the show notes. I've been following all their stuff on social media of like really cool stuff of putting the digital glasses on and seeing that. But then really practical stuff like this tape measure is more than the tape measure at Home Depot. So if I invest in that, what's the value of that? And then if I break the tape, do I just throw it away? So just education of all different ways to meet us where they are. So I'm so excited to go down this journey with Christian together. Christian, what an honor to have you here. Let's get ready to learn about your favorite beverage. Christian, what's your favorite beverage?
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. All right. We've had several interviews where people are like, they say Coke, but then there's like certain types. Are you deep into only fountain or only certain types of it or just a good old-fashioned Coca-Cola?
So Coke is good. I do appreciate it. And I don't know if it's a Mexican restaurant special where I think they crank up the syrup on it. And that definitely has a distinctive flavor to it. So I'd say that's definitely the one that really hits the spot. Enjoy any kind of Coke, but it's something, I don't know if it's typical for Mexican restaurants, but it seems like that's a place where they really crank it up for the syrup to soda ratio.
Awesome. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled, Christian.
Yeah, I traveled to quite a few places. I think one of the most memorable ones is during COVID in 2020, when obviously people weren't supposed to travel, I was able to travel for work. We were making at my previous job, 3D printed testing swabs that go in the nose when there was a shortage of them. And one of our factories was in Ohio. And I remember everyone, you know, wasn't moving in general. So the plane we took out there had like, you know, 4 people on it on like a normal, you know, full size flight with it. But one of the distinct memories I have there is walking in a park that was by one of the Great Lakes. I don't specifically remember which one at it, but I remember, you know, being very picturesque and, you know, having a couple of photos of it. And it looks like Windows XP background, where it's just like blue sky and like green grass and just no one around with it, that people weren't even going outside at the time with it. So always remember that as like one of the, you know, true peaceful places where you just kind of looked around. It was like very quiet, wasn't windy. So that was the closest I've gotten to full peace before, and definitely a distinctive travel memory.
Cool. And tell us what you like to do outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction.
Yeah, I would say I don't, you know, may loosely relate to construction, but I just like building things. So any opportunity I have to get hands-on with something, whether that's, you know, obviously construction is, you know, one of the purest ways to represent that passion, but any chance I have to work on a side project, work in a shop, make something, get hands-on with something has always been where I've naturally gravitated towards and made this a very natural career choice after a couple iterations.
Cool. Well, it's an honor to have you here. Let's unpack this by learning, what is your story that led you to being the founder and CEO at Recon?
Yeah, so Recon Tools was founded in 2020. And as I said before, my passion has always been really revolving around how people make things. So, you know, like many hobbies, it evolves over time. And in high school, when you're limited in what you can do and work on, or even, you know, middle school and before that, it was what I could find in Home Depot that my dad, while a financial professional, was always very keen on getting hands-on with stuff. We had a full basement shop with all the tools, some of which in retrospect, perhaps weren't the safest of the classic, 1960s Craftsman radial arm saw and things without any of the modern safety measures, but definitely a good way to learn without too many accidents in the meantime with it. So I think that really, you know, evolved as I went through my career from high school and just, you know, increased the complexity of what I was building to college, where you have access to almost any type of machinery, CNC machines, 3D printers, and really at the advent of that before they were as commercially and readily available. And then briefly served in the military, where we deployed I was an engineer in the Army. So, you know, building a lot of stuff there and, you know, I guess most relevant to construction, of course, with the added intricacies of what goes on in the Army, and then worked at a 3D printing company and then started Recon Tools in 2020. So, you know, I highlight all those experiences to highlight that it was always about making something. And I think Recon is the first time that what I was making was, you know, not a one-off product using construction tools or a higher volume tool that only engineers can use. And I think that's what really brought us of interest at Recon, where we could make tools that, you know, benefit the average construction professional. And really, you know, after 4 years now, you know, the theme of what has made Recon special is that, as many people have seen outside of tools becoming battery powered, there just hasn't been many substantial changes when you walk down a Home Depot aisle. And if you compare, say, 7 years ago to a Best Buy aisle to a Home Depot aisle, Home Depot, someone would probably pretty easily, if we took someone from 7 years ago and dumped them into a Best Home Depot today, would probably be able to point out every single thing they see on the shelf, where Best Buy is completely different and just shows the difference of pace and thought that goes into general consumer electronics versus tools that professionals are using, and really led to the theme of what we're building here at Recon.
What a great analogy, the Home Depot aisle to the Best Buy aisle, and you know, the digitization of putting all that stuff together. How did the Recon platform come to be? So 4 years in, as you know, days can be long sometimes, but the years are short. I loved your, you know, kind of lead up of being in the Army, working with your hands, creating things. What was the, you know, the origin story and how that whole platform came together?
Yeah, I think it was merging two separate elements that not many, if any, companies do well, and something we strive for, which is taking the best elements of technology, the buzzword of digitization, and implement that into a product that's tough and built for a job site. And I think both of those are really required to make innovative tools in this space. And again, I think there's examples of both where, you know, you have a lot of the traditional tool companies, Milwaukee, Stanley, DeWalt, that, you know, really represent quality, Hilti, where you see them, like, there's no doubt these tools are tough with it. And I think something that they struggle with is technology, and a lot of the technology that they have introduced. And, you know, don't get me wrong, battery technology is great, has changed the paradigm of convenience, but these are incremental improvements versus, to, you know, order of magnitude disruption based on the timeframes of which they're implemented with it. So, you know, all these companies represent the tough side of things. And then on the digital technology side, I think a big graveyard of where people have introduced these kind of products wind up in Sharper Image or SkyMall. They're nice gadgets, but they are not accepting the realities of the job site. And I think those two themes are really what led to the formation of Recon and our evolution going forward with it, that we're looking to make products that accept the realities of construction, the durability, the use cases, the accessibility of it, but not being afraid to introduce technology that, you know, maybe doesn't have a precedent in this space, but inarguably is better. And I think that's, you know, best summarized by our tape measure. And certainly this is like the first cell phone. It's bigger and more expensive than what you want it to be with it, but it's inarguably better to take a measurement on the roof and have someone on the other side of the job site see the measurements in real time versus shouting them one at a time, going into a radio. It's safer. You have more hands free for it. So these are all paradigms I think we look at, and really what led to, you know, obviously a specific example, but, you know, really I think closely matched to our theme as a company of how do we take these elements of technology and digitization, combine it with the realities of a job site into making an ecosystem of products that are, again, offering these order of magnitude benefits to a construction professional, whether that's error reduction, speed increases, or just generally lowering the barrier of entry it takes for someone to come into this space and be able to successfully execute a job without extensive training or worry that they're going to screw something up or miscut an expensive piece of material.
You know, I want to pause there and just commend you for being able to articulate to move this stuff forward, right? There's so many of us that are itching to break through the ceiling, but we have to figure out, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses to put that together. I'm curious, how did you come up with the name Recon?
Yeah, so Recon, like many logo or name design, you know, I think we wound up in a good spot and something that certainly has survived the test of time 4 years into it, where many things at a startup, you know, you iterate through and just refine as you go forward. But Recon is a combination of my last name and my co-founder's last name. So my last name is Reed. My co-founder's last name is Greek. It's Economopolis and not necessarily spelled phonetically with it, but the original proposal was Reedicon and realized that Recon, you know, is more of a play on the, you know, vibes you expect from a brand, right? Right? Recon has that tactical vibe. It's a relatively simple logo with it. And I think that, you know, the branding that we build is equally important just because of how important perception is in construction. And, you know, not to get sidetracked, but like the entire origin of the DeWalt brand is from brand perception and what Black & Decker made from taking their orange Black & Decker tools and making them into the DeWalt brand, which they had acquired previously with it. So brand is immensely important and equally, you know, needed for the success we've had in our early journey to go forward with it, is that the brand is something that represents what you want it to and not a, you know, gadget or something that doesn't belong in the space.
I love that. So we got it all teed up, kind of the overview of where we're coming from. We're next going to kind of dive into, and it's not fair to say MVP because I'm literally holding this in my hand and I've just been blown away by the tool to the other. In my other hand, I have the QR code printer, but the part that I'm not holding in my hand is my phone. And that's what's connecting the field to the office through the app. So I want to unpack some of these things, but I think where I want to start, you know, the Tomahawk tape measure is this amazing tool, and you have so many more of those that we're going to kind of highlight and talk about to build this whole story. If you want to document the job site, what is your solution today? And unpack that about how we got to the solution today, because the theme about this whole podcast is how do we connect the field to the office in the office to the field in these different things that we call the customer care wheel through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. Like, how do we meet everybody where they are to create the right model and document that stuff for the sources of truth to move the project along? So I want you to start by saying, if you want to document the job site, what is the Recon solution?
Yeah, I think traditionally, documenting the job site has been a very, not isolated process, but disjointed from what's going on at the grounds. Like, everyone is familiar with a task tracking software or platform of some kind, whether that's my notebook in the most analog sense, or, you know, something like Asana, Jobber, Builder Trend, Procore, depending on, you know, what kind of construction you're doing with it. And I think the approach we've taken is, you know, always, you know, what is the unique value we can offer, right? We're not looking to make something, slap our name on the side of it as a Me Too product. We're looking to make, you know, new innovation and leverage the system we're building. So when we think about documenting the job site more so than very statically making a task tracking, we're using what our tools are designed to do. And we have a series of hardware products, and in essence, they're all meant to capture or execute data on the job site with it. So when we think about documenting it, it's how do we specifically leverage that data with it? So from very simple use cases, I cut a piece of material. Do I pause now to fumble for my pencil, write in my sloppy handwriting what the measurement is? Or because I already have my cut list digitized, do I click a button, print a label out for it, and slap it on the top of it? So, you know, if you were to do this from scratch, it would be a very clunky process because you'd be using, you know, a spreadsheet to make a cut list, a Zebra printer or whatever to print out a label, where here you already, all the information is already in a central spot, whether it's on the app or on your tape measure. So the extra step of printing out a label really distributes it to the lowest level, the most granular level as possible. So rather than say, hey, I want this window complete, I have every piece of material that you know, goes into that window, the casing, the window itself, that's fully organized and, you know, just in flow with it. And I think that's, you know, how we think about documentation, that it's all very in flow. I'm not doing extra work to make this documentation or link it so that someone, the person who maybe unpacked it, is likely not going to be the person to install it. So really keeping this continuity across the job site and doing it very in line. So it's not extra steps. It doesn't require extra work. It's just very as organic as we can make it feel and, you know, be in practice from the time I locate something to the time I install it and it's completed off my punch list or job site to-do list with it. So I think we have a variety of solutions that do that, from label printing to the digital tape measure with captures of measurements on it, but very flexible based on, you know, one's profession and whatever trade they're in about how they actually apply it and how it matches their workflow without adding extra overhead to the process.
Yeah, and I love that of, like, you have to be able to inflow where you fit into the art of construction and what kit of parts are flowing in and flowing out of that particular project. And you have to have this, the kit of parts has to be, okay, what am I bringing to the job site? And what am I doing to be smooth on the job site to fit into the overall art of construction? And I want to highlight and take a moment of day to day, I do windows and doors. And I said, Christian, before we do this podcast, I don't want to rush to get this to market. I want to slow down a bit and understand, how do you and I meet each other where we are? And can you talk about those kit of parts of how that's going to be articulated? And you went through and you spoke window and door to me about me day to day owning and operating a window and door company to say, okay, how could we flow these kit of parts utilizing the Recon platform and things like the P1 Tagger printer, to where you could say, okay, you're trim, you're this, they're that, you know, whatever it is. But then we're going to unpack and talk about the app and the other tools, about it all comes together. So you have an app to tie these things together, correct? Can you talk about that app and the kind of whole process of how we got to that, to where how this, I keep saying there's an app for that, but it's not one app for everything. That's why I kind of asked you at the beginning, are you Google or are you Microsoft? And how does this stuff flow throughout the art of construction? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think when we made the app, there's, like many topics, we talk about two distinct categories of current apps on the market. Ones that are made by tool companies, which are generally half-assed efforts of, hey, we're just going to throw together an app as like an accessory to say a product we have is Bluetooth connected. And then on the other side of it, you have software companies, which are perhaps sometimes disjointed from the realities of construction or don't talk to, you know, construction is a physical space that software will always only get you so far. You need a place to facilitate digital to physical world of things. So I think when we made our app, we really built it as a part of the ecosystem. It's not an accessory to the ecosystem. It's a part of the ecosystem. And I think that's a important distinction, is because how seamlessly it integrates with everything to it. And I think the most practical and quantifiable workflow of that is just going through an example where I'm, say, you know, cutting some materials for something I'm doing on the roof with it. I have my guy on the cut saw on the other side of the job site, and the process of which I do that using the Recon digital ecosystem is I have my T1 Tomahawk digital tape measure. I'm taking measurements. I'm saving them with a click of a button. Anytime the measurements are saved, they're sent over Bluetooth to my phone, which can be in my pocket, doesn't need to be turned on. And once it's sent over Bluetooth to my phone via the Rock app, which is our mobile application, it's backed up to the cloud. So everything is now shared in real time with anyone else who has the app with it. So as I'm taking 5, 6, 7 measurements on the roof, they're all automatically labeled. They're all organized in a cut list format and can be sent to anyone else with a phone as well with it. So now on the other side of the job site in real time, I'm cutting out the pieces of material. I can see what types of material they are. I can cut them out and then label them as well with it. So when I send back up whoever my, you know, runner is or laborer, whoever is moving the material back and forth, I'm not only handing off a pile of materials that are all cut exactly to specification, they're all labeled. So I know exactly where they go. I'm not trying to read someone's handwriting and try to interpret if that's a 7/8 or a 3/8 cut on it. So I don't put it, install it in the wrong spot and only realize in retrospect the part is cutting correctly with it. So I think the app really serves as a facilitator at the end of the day. And it's just something that is so embedded to how everything works, from organizing measurements, calculating them. So if I need to do a staircase calculation, a roofing calculation, I'm not pulling out my 1980s calculator and doing one line at a time, trying to calculate what a stringer length is or something. I'm taking the measurements that I calculate and putting them in a very rich visual format with it. So the app just serves as a data warehouse for being able to better organize information I'm collecting on the job site and put it directly, you know, very measurement centric, as that's the purest form of data on a job site. So that can be put into a cut list, put into a calculator, annotated over a PDF, put into a photo, shared with someone else. I could do group batch calculations to it. Like, again, for example, for installing a window, maybe what I measure is not what I actually need to order. So I can automatically add whatever 3/8 of an inch to every measurement I capture. So there's a lot of flexibility and, like anything, a lot of customability of what the app can do as it serves as that facilitator of information on the job site, and something that ties very much in line to how the rest of the hardware ecosystem works.
All right. I got a quick story that you're going to enjoy, Christian. So last summer, I had to build stairs, and it had been a while since I built stairs. And my helper and I, we didn't have my lead carpenter or the master facilitator who'd been doing stairs. So I'm like Googling and this and trying to figure out the stairs. And finally, I just drew it out on the wall and made it work that way instead of doing the math, because I was getting so frustrated of stairs. And I tell you that story is because last weekend I was there, and these stairs, I made them too steep and they're a pain to go up and down, and I was trimming out the windows. So last weekend I was trimming out the windows, and I went up with my tomahawk, and I went up and I got all these measurements and went up there, and I cut 14 boards out of all the measurements, and I only had to go back up and down those stairs twice to adjust them after the fact. I tell you that story is because now, as the master facilitator of the workforce we're trying to really empower, the word digitization is one of those things where they're excited about that now. The problem is the master facilitators may not be putting those tools in their hands and saying, here's the tomahawk, where can you teach us the digitization part, and we'll teach you how you get the measurements. And it removes these barriers of understanding, you know, 1/8 inch strong and 30, and like yelling out the old school way of how you're connecting from the spot to the other spot to cut and put this stuff together. I love in the platform where you put things like a stair calculator, or you're talking about roofs of like, okay, you tell the project manager to order the roofing material and they can't quite articulate that. You put tools in there to help meet the master facilitators where they are in digitization. And I'm really proud and excited for all of us to take that to the next level, because at the end of the day, you're saying, okay, here's what we've built because we've listened and we've really been in the trenches the last 4 years. But there's also, let's talk through how you can make this and customize and give experiences. That's why I really thought it was the perfect time to release this podcast, because the app is tying these things together for real problems that we're trying to solve every day on the job site, right? And so that story is like me just literally jumping in using it. And I'm a huge fan, and I wanted to make sure you heard that on this podcast from me, of just like, good on you for doing this stuff. Can you unpack the tomahawk a little bit more? Like things like, if the tape breaks that I spent too much for, how do I charge this battery? Just the stuff that I know these answers because I have it in my hand, and it's just been seamless, literally. And I wanted you to hear that from me, as that's why I really wanted you to, I wanted to get the products in my hand and be a fan before we turn this on. And then talking through, like, if you're doing funky windows that maybe it's metric or a different way that you're measuring this stuff, that's really hard to train. What can you unpack some of those things for us on the tape measure?
Yeah, so the T1 Tomahawk digital tape measure, certainly not the first digital tape measure, and shockingly, digital tape measures have been around since the mid-1990s. And I think, again, something we did was combine the elements of what makes a great normal tape measure and combine that with the benefits offered by a digital tape measure to deliver a product, which, you know, now that you've used and appreciated, has a lot of these functional benefits to users with it. So T1 Tomahawk digital tape measure, it's reading the bottom of the tape measure, which the bottom of the tape measure has a pattern, which is read like a barcode pattern. And that's what's encoding to always know where it is and be able to display an accurate measurement beyond 1/32 of an inch or 0.5 millimeter on it. So the blades serve a central function. There's also a secondary encoder on the inside should any of the blade get damaged. But as you said, Devin, you know, a way to you know, there's very little ways to avoid tape measures getting damaged, whether it's kinked, you step on it, it gets scratched off with it. So something we brought back, which also was a thing, I guess, up until the 1990s, is that the blade is fully replaceable. If you damage the blade, it's fully replaceable. You swap it out. Takes about 3 minutes to do. Remove two Phillips head screws, a very easy and seamless process. And I think that's, you know, out of necessity for an expensive digital tape measure, but also out of practicality that, you know, nothing else of the tape measure is damaged. There's no need to get rid of it, send it off for a repair at a facility. You can have extra blades ready to go to, again, keep the uptime running. And, you know, like many tools you're using, it's likely something you're used to make money with it. And, you know, downtime is something one can't afford with it. So, yeah, I really tried to think through all these aspects of it. The battery is not only onboard rechargeable with a USB-C port, but it's replaceable. So you can swap it out and keep it running if you need it. And obviously, the printed blade is always going to be there in the worst case if you ran out of power and weren't near a charger with it. So really tried to think through these use cases. And then the other, you know, two highlights on it are, you know, A, needing to reduce the need for math, that it can, as you've seen as well, take internal measurements. So I'm not trying to add in any measurements to it. I can do offsets. So if I'm, say, measuring off a piece of casing or another piece of material, rather than have to remember that, hey, I started my measurement at 3 3/4 inches, so whatever my final measurement is, I need to subtract that, I can zero it out at any point on the tape measure blade. So a lot of these functions, which usually wind up being some of the most error prone in construction of, I forgot to subtract an inch, I forgot a quarter inch here and there with it, are pretty easily avoidable just because of the built-in functions we put in the T1 Tomahawk. So I think that, in essence, is, you know, really where the value is being delivered, that, you know, it's both it's built for construction, accepts the realities of how people use and need their tools to perform on a job site. It eliminates math, which is always going to be a big source of errors on the job site, whether or not people want to admit that. And then the third part is just the integration with the app, that you can share measurements anywhere, and the connectivity opens a near infinite world of possibilities of what you can do with the data when it's there, and allows you to hyper customize it based on whatever your particular trade is or application you're trying to accomplish using it.
Yeah, well said. And a couple of things I want to also highlight is on the Tomahawk, there's a screen right on there, which is it's where the on the housing of the battery. So it's a tape measure with it's a little bit bigger. But the other thing that I really liked is that it comes with a really cool case, and it's like it's something I think is it's rugged looking and strong in the case to like do the best we can to put it together. But where I want to pass the baton back to you is, so you have this screen on the tape measure, you can physically see what you've done right away on the tape measure, and then you can send it over to the app or another way of a cut list, a different way to do it. But on the other end, so this is the person, let's call it in my story of I'm up on the second floor getting all this kit of parts digitized, and then you send it to a person at the chop saw to actually cut the boards. Do you have anything to help for the person on the cutting table to help as well?
Yeah, so we have the M1 caliper is our first product, and that attaches to a miter saw, and really the convenience this is offering is speed and portability with it. So generally, it's not going to replace a full-out Tiger Stop or a hard stop-based system, but for $150, you have something that clamps on a miter saw, and rather than do the normal process of take out your tape measure for each cut, make your mark, and then cut it on there, it clamps onto the miter saw fence and allows you to slide the material under an adjustable wheel, which measures the material as it's slid underneath it. So where this really earns its keep is for speed increases, that if I'm cutting blocking and I don't have the space or setup for where my miter saw is mounted to be able to set up a hard block or something else with it, that this is, you know, the perfect combination of speed and portability with it, just because it clamps onto the miter saw. It's no bigger than, you know, two of your fists put together with it. So really harping on, again, that speed increase from it. And we see a lot of our customers using conjunction with the Rock app, where I'll mount my phone or tablet next to it. And then the Rock app has my cut list of the pieces of material that I need to cut with it. I make my cut and I can, you know, either A, print out a label, certainly write it on it if I don't have the printer, and then complete it on the cut list. So again, this is replacing the traditional, again, yellow piece of paper, side of a 2x4 where I've written all my measurements down on it, and really just highlight, you know, one of the applications of replacing a cut list, but something that there isn't really a good alternative to using with it between what contractors are doing at the ground. And again, a lot of how we design and think about products is take what exists in a factory where you have hyper specific setups, a big, you know, capital investment to do it, but make it easy enough for anyone to do. And the Rock app is free. And I think that's a big component of it, that the Rock app is meant for accessibility and people using more so than trying to make money off of it. We have lots of other ways we sell products and make money, but the Rock app is and will continue to be a completely free product that we offer for getting that base functionality and something that, you know, should be free, right? As, you know, it helps people get in the trades and, you know, you don't need to go into the discussion of all the, you know, trade and labor shortages, but, you know, certainly something that I think all of us are keeping a close eye on as we evolve here in the coming years and beyond.
Yeah. And I think that's really worth unpacking to say, you know, as the Go-Giver's philosophy is, this is what you're giving to the industry to be actually valuable, of like saying, okay, where can we trim and different options depending on the job and what connectivity you have to add value, right? So that's kind of that spoken wheel of like what on the phone you're utilizing to be able to move the project along, but also really educating. That's what I've really loved about you and what your team has done. You put a lot out there, and we'll make sure to put that in the show notes of, you know, how to follow along on what Recon is doing. And my big call to action for this is get a Tomahawk and get the free app. And what it costs for the tape measure is more than a tape measure. We're not here to tell you that, but the comprehensive kit of parts you're allowed to do with that is what the first investment should be. And then once you figure out that tape measure, then it's, okay, where should we print? What should we do? And integrate to meet your business and your team where they are. And I would really highlight, find a champion that could take and run with this within your business, and then utilize the Art of Construction community to move this thing forward. And you guys have been releasing a lot of really cool stuff lately, like your countertop display that kind of just talks through the Tomahawk. Can you unpack that a little bit? And we'll put links to that in the show notes to correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm talking out of line, Christian, to say that's what I've seen as a power user jumping in with the Recon platform. What's your take to all that?
Yeah, I think educational and inspiration are certainly two big components of how we have to market our Recon products that, you know, again, when at the end of the day, if people aren't seeing clear value in our products, the answer is to return them. Everywhere we sell the product has essentially a 30-day guarantee for any reason. Return it. We'll certainly support it for as long as you own the product with it. But I think a lot of people are just afraid to give it a try out. But the benefits as they've been designed and flexibility they offer is, you know, should be an order of magnitude overly apparent, that it should only take a few pieces of miscut material to be safe or it to pay for itself many times over with it. So, you know, we don't live on the edge of, you know, oh, this is going to provide a 10 to 20% benefit. This should be offering people an order of magnitude benefit with it. And again, you know, we have to accept the realities of construction as well, that as we know, despite, you know, working and, you know, us being perhaps forward thinkers in the space, there is a lot of inherent stubbornness in the space, adversion to new technology. Some of it rightfully so, just because attempts previously haven't lived up to the standards needed to be successful with it. And I think a big part of what we do, you know, with in-store displays, online, social media has been very big for us, is highlight applications and be able to dissuade some of the skepticism with it, right? That one of the big examples we do at trade shows is like, I don't think this is durable. I don't say, hey, it is durable. I throw it on the concrete and pick it up and show that it's perfectly functioning. Hey, I don't believe this is accurate. And I let people try it out and measure anything they want, compare it to the tape measure, measure a reference guide with it. So definitely something that seeing is believing, and something that, you know, despite having a lot of success online, we usually see the funnel of light bulbs go off when people hold it and see it in person. And perhaps as you've seen as well, Devin, right, that you've held the product and can feel the build quality and the attention to details to it. And this is something that, again, we of course try to do our best to convey online, but it's really something that you have to hold and play around with in person to really appreciate just the thought that went into every detail on it, and something that, you know, from everything and back to the core philosophy of it, that before we made a digital tape measure, we made a great normal tape measure, that the blade is very durable, the hook is very robust with it. So this would not only go hand in hand with the top tape measures on the market now, it also includes all, of course, the back end benefits of it being digital as well. So I think those are all things we think about and hope to present to customers, of just, you know, how what these products need to deliver to people looking on the edge of trying it with it, as well as just the open prompt of like, hey, if you're not sure, try it. Very, very likely we have an extremely low return rate that people who make the plunge usually find a spot for it on the job site. And again, like anything, it's not going to solve all your problems, but for definitely significant parts of it. It's just going to, it'll be abundantly clear how it pays for itself and its error reduction, how much it saves time with it, and how streamlined it makes what otherwise would be very clunky or disjointed operations from, you know, making measurement lists, saving things, putting them into spreadsheets or whatever else you're doing for measuring or collecting data on a job site on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I want to circle back on getting adoption is you got to meet the tape measure has to be a legit tape measure. Like, I've you said since the 90s, the first ones I saw, they weren't accurate and the tape sucked. And it's like, you're missing two valuable things here to get adoption. Like, you can't take your good tape and give them a crappier tape that's going to do that. And then more importantly than all that is we have to recognize that the people that are out to use these all day, every day, change is hard. And when we've put stuff in the past, it didn't quite work well. Lasers. You think about the early day of just like of them not being accurate, fine for a real estate agent to get a ballpark. But when you're doing perfect millwork cuts, it's not just for the ballpark. Like, it has to be perfect if you're going to create a perfect project, right? So that's the part that I've watched and seen how you guys have pushed this to market. It's not good is good enough. It has to be as good or better than the competition to get adoption. And that's the part that I think it's time right now, master facilitators, to really jump into these tools. Because I think right now where people are jaded by them, and it's accurate because they haven't worked well. But I can tell you the technology's there. What have you seen from being the person of behind the scenes to now in front of the scenes of putting these to market? Of what would be your call to action of saying the time is now when I put that to market?
Yeah, to me and what we're building, and obviously this is something I'm extremely passionate about and obviously biased working at the company, but this is what battery powered tools were to plug in tools with it. You can push it off for a while. You can say, oh, that's a DIY tool. That's not going to catch on. And was exactly what happened in 2006 when Milwaukee came out with one of the first lithium-ion battery-powered systems. So certainly there were NiCad batteries before then with it, but it really wasn't until 2018 when they were generally accepted and, you know, that was the standard to use it. And then people realized both the convenience of it, that you can literally draw more power from a lithium-ion battery than a standard wall outlet with it, and the benefits became clear, even though most of them could have been recognized a decade earlier with it. So for me, on my side of things, and, you know, what we build the product to, that this is an inevitable shift. There'll always be a place, you know, specific just to, you know, we make a lot of products, but tape measures is probably the most relatable for most people. I'm not saying there will always be a place for normal tape measures, just based on, you know, how you use them, that a digital tape measure still inherently is going to have to measure from a physical reference surface, either on the front or the back of the tape measure, where, as you know, there are many applications where I'm measuring something high or low, where I want to just bend the tape measure and look at it, and that an analog tape measure is always going to work fine for that. But anytime I'm doing something else with the data or measurements I'm capturing outside of just looking at it and nodding my head with it, that digital is inarguably better. It doesn't mean we fully recognize that in the products, but inevitably digital tape measures will be the standard for that at some point in the near future with it. So to me, you know, the lack of adoption or, you know, pushing it off is just delaying the inevitable, the same way that smartphones became a thing. There's just too many inarguable things. And again, a lot of, you know, still continual but solvable problems for us to continue to address with functionality, convenience, cost, and other things. But like any mature technology, that will inevitably improve over time with it. So this is, you know, accepting a reality and accepting something just inarguable benefits of using technology for this and figuring out, you know, how to get ahead of the curve with it, that everyone's talking about how to, you know, of course, or should be running a business is how to make money, how to reduce labor costs, how to focus on what people are actually building, just because outside of surveyors, most people are not making money from measuring things with it. And there are just too many inarguable benefits to expect anything less than digital is going to be the standard at some point in the near future with it and really come to be a tool, an essential tool to anyone's toolbox with it. So because of the flexibility it offers on the back end, it's really a worthwhile endeavor to get into now and explore the creative back end possibilities where if I don't have to take my notepad, write down measurements, drive back to the office, type in all those measurements to a spreadsheet, convert it and send it off to a window manufacturer. If I could automate that whole process, how would that change my business? If I could go to a client's house and give them a quote in 10 minutes versus 2 days on the competitor? What advantage would that offer to me over my competition? And I think these are the types of thoughts people, you know, savvy business owners need to have with it, because these are all the advantages that people always ask about and dream about, but, you know, sometimes are afraid to take the plunge and jump into it, where this is something that is fully achievable today, right now, you know, with some of the products we offer with it. And just if people have the willingness to do that, we have all the ability in the world to, you know, both help them along that journey and very instantly, in a matter of a week, be able to implement some of these systems and provide those competitive advantages to them and, you know, help them grow their business and whatever their goals are on the back end.
Well said. And now it's kind of the learn by doing of like pushing this forward, right? So I challenge everybody listening to this to say, come reach out to us, to the Master Facilitators community, because what I'm going to do, and I hope other people listening, is to say, okay, train the trainer, get yourself the tape measure, listen to this podcast, understand what Chris and I are talking about from a high level, but then find a champion within your organization that maybe really be tech forward, but they haven't put a lot of time of the learn by doing of like understanding how to cut in this and stairs and all the stuff we talk about. Let them be the champion of that to augment the industry that there's not enough of people that just know how to do it because it's always been done this way. Those people are struggling. This is the tool to break through that ceiling. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to Eric and I'm going to say he's been really doing a great job tech forward, but he hasn't lived the art of construction. He came from his family's motel and ran a family business, right? There's a lot of us that have people in our organizations like that, that are tech forward, but haven't been the boots on the ground for a long time. And then what I want to do is like circle back with Christian and the team of saying, okay, how do we all come and break through the ceiling together and utilize this stuff from different champions? And you guys have a great, you know, message board, and you have someone that's helping and moving all that stuff along and excited to do that together and learn by doing. And that's why we say we are the doers of the industry, right? Like every day taking a paradigm shift to just start by saying, I'm going to put a different tape measure in your hand. Let me know what and start here. How can you fast get these the source of truth of what needs to happen from this tape measure to the right person? And depending on what your business is, there's a lot of moving parts to that, right? But then it all has to come together somehow, some way for the project source of truth. And that's kind of the general contractor or the project manager to also be empowered to move all this stuff along. Christian, as we work on closing this thing out, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting paradigm with it, and something that I think is going to see a lot of new players emerge in the space that very similar to, you know, when Tesla came in and made, you know, electric cars, that it's just a completely different business model than making combustion engines. And I think very similarly, we're seeing here as well with it, where like many things that have inspired or led to innovation in the US economy is, you know, startups working in the space with it. So I would likely expect to see, you know, more companies working on more unique solutions in the space on both the hardware and software side of things. So software is always going to be the lower overhead, easy to leverage side of it, but it's necessary to continue to build up the hardware ecosystem with it. So very likely, I would imagine we'll see some half-baked efforts from larger companies, just because inherent, you know, making an ecosystem, especially one that is digital focused, is inherently much, much different than making power tools with it. So there are a lot of elements you can borrow from that with it, but I think, and we've seen many examples of in the past with it, that, you know, how many people are actually using, you know, tool tracking by a Milwaukee tick on their job site? How many people are, you know, using the DeWalt app for something on there with it, right? A lot of these projects, you know, have a lot of hype and they make good white papers, but in practice, they don't have much benefit to it. So I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of paradigm shifts. And again, certainly not going to eliminate the need for great power tools, quality tool products like that, but there's likely going to be a new generation of players that are going to offer these integrated solutions and ecosystems that, again, the way I like to think about it is augmented. reinventing how people are working. Nothing is going to replace people working. Robots, I don't think, are the solution to anything. Robots, to this point and in general, are hyper-focused on solving one task and even then having a bunch of limitations on what it can do. To the most prominent examples in consumer products, from a Roomba, which, you know, the moment you have carpet and hard floor next to each other, it kind of throws everything off of how effective a device like that can be. And I think there are a lot of similar ones in construction where, again, they make great white papers, VR, crazy robots around the job site, but they're hyper-focused on doing one task, which a bunch of caveats on how it can work with it. So while I expect we'll see more than that with it, I really don't expect that to be the order of magnitude shift that we're working on versus more hyper-specific to certain tasks on it with it. I would expect, again, tools that are do have this right balance of accessibility, ease of use, and integration into larger platforms that emerge in the coming years, and what that look like will be determined, but it is going to require quite a bit of, you know, new players, new faces, and new thoughts in the space for it to be successful, to really see the shift we did for going from corded to cordless tools with it, and all the new players and ecosystems and battery platforms that emerge from there with it as well. And something equally similar here, but the barrier of entry will continue to grow higher and higher just because of the component of not only do you need to have great hardware products, you need to have great software that backs up and it's easy to use. That's as you said, Devin, you know, software shouldn't be hard to use. It shouldn't require days of training. It should be something that's intuitive to pick up and provide a very, you know, Google-esque experience of just simple, intuitive of how to use it and match up with just how people are already using their phones and mobile applications, but just more oriented towards construction and being able to do things faster, more productively, and with less errors.
I love it. If you want to learn more about the products, how should the Art of Construction Master Facilitators reach out?
Yeah, so you can visit us on our website at recon.tools or visit us on any social platform at recontools. And I think social media is probably the best way to get a sense of just some of the applications, join the conversation, and see more what we're about with it. That, again, it's a very, you know, application-heavy thing with it. And we find that social media, you know, we post videos daily or applications daily with it. And there's always that light bulb moment for people where there's like, wow, I could see that working in my job. Or like, oh, I didn't know you could do that with the products as well. So social media is generally the best place to get inspired or see what others are doing with the products. And we certainly have a full website at recon.tools for learning more about the ecosystem, the products, and all of our full offerings.
Awesome. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I keep getting in my feed and I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. But then you think about this, and it's just different ways of shifting, you know, what tools are in your hand and how you can use them. So good on you. The final question we always ask before we send everybody on our way, Christian Reed, we commend you for what you're doing. What a great platform with Recon and the great tools around that. What is the one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, I think kind of twofold. One is the marketing and brand they build around it, that businesses don't sell themselves, and the most sustainable ones are ones that have a brand name behind it. So social media has completely changed the paradigm of getting to businesses, and something that we work very closely with. So the more people are able to advertise their craft or highlight what they're working on, it's going to help get new clients, exponentially grow the business. And just there's, you know, case study after case study of, you know, just leveraging the power of social media, all for a pretty low overhead of, you know, what it takes to make it on that. So just really building the brand and building the business with it. And then the second, you know, somewhat related to that as well, is just, you know, always be looking at, you know, what new technologies out there and how do I get a competitive edge. That construction is a very easy industry to get complacent in and be happy with, you know, marginal improvements or doing things the same way I've been doing them for the past 15, 20, 30 years with it. But that will always lead to extremely predictable results and extremely predictable outcomes based on changes in the economy. And, you know, always the talk of what is the next recession bring or what goes on with it. So anything you can do to leverage technology and, you know, be willing to challenge yourself with it. That, you know, a saying that always had resonated with me, and I'll wrap up my, you know, thoughts here on with it, is that if you're not willing to disrupt your business, someone else will gladly do it for you with it. And I think this is something just speaking to the highlight of building the brand and leveraging technology in your business, because if you don't do it, there absolutely will be someone else to do it and will leave you in the dust at some point in the future. And of course, that time and inevitability is not predictable, but time and time again continues to happen in any industry with it, and just highlights that you should always be on your toes, be on your edge, and figure out, you know, what is going to give you that edge over your competition and make you, you know, more desirable for your clients and customers that you're serving.
Spot on. Christian, thank you so much for stepping up to the mic and sharing your story.
Cool. Appreciate it, Devin. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Crush it out there, tribe.